I'm Jez Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Monday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Rob stops by for an in-depth discussion of Atletico's slim 1-0 loss at Barcelona on Sunday afternoon in what was widely regarded as a title-deciding fixture. Lionel Messi's 26th-minute free kick ensured that Barca would go 8 points clear of second-place Atletico. We'll discuss all the fallout and all the ramifications from this game, including Simeone's approach, whether it was too conservative, too negative, how we would have done it, etc. The much improved but ultimately ineffective Atletico that we saw in the second half, how Jose Jimenez has revitalized what once was a wobbly Atleti defense, whether Simeone's men are still the favorites for second place with Real Madrid nipping at their heels for that position in the table. And finally, we'll take a look at Thursday's contest. A stadium called Wanda will play host to Lokomotiv Moscow, the first leg of the Europa League last 16. Will Simeone change his team? Will Simeone change his approach? Will Atletico win the match? We'll talk about all those things and lots more. In addition, it's bonus pod day. Our rumor roundup is available for Colchonero Chat amigos over at patreon.com/colchonerochat. We're talking about the Samu Castillejo links, the Villarreal winger perhaps on the move to Madrid this summer. In addition to how Yannick Carrasco and Nico Gaitán got on in their first Chinese Super League game. Hint, it did not go well for either of them. Plus, Copa del Rey final controversy. Atletico and La Liga involved in a standoff there. All the details in the Colchonero Chat rumor roundup at patreon.com/colchonerochat. You can also support the show by subscribing and listening on your favorite podcasting platform, most notably iTunes. Please leave your rating and a review on iTunes. It helps get more eyes and ears on the program. So it would be much appreciated if you could do that for us. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. Okay, so let's get started. We are just about through 27 weeks. We have one game on this Monday night. It's Celta Vigo hosting Las Palmas. Could be a decent game.
Potentially.
That actually could be fun. Atletico plays Celta next weekend. But before we get into all that, let's run through the results of match day 27. There was no Friday game, so we'll start on Saturday where Villarreal hosting Girona. They lost 2-0. Villarreal in absolutely dreadful form. They have just one win from their last six. Girona now just 1 point behind Villarreal in first sixth place, and they have the head-to-head. Very interesting.
Mercy.
Very interesting stuff going on in the race for the European places. Sevilla, 2-0 win over Athletic. Once again, Athletic just so bad, as Sevilla get it done pretty easily with two goals in the first half from Luis Muriel and Mudo Vazquez. Leganés, 2-0 winners over Malaga. Everyone beats Malaga. That's their 20th loss of the season through 27 weeks.
I think it's just surprising that they've won three.
Yeah, who do they beat for their three wins?
Yeah, it must have been someone terrible. I mean, I can't even remember.
I legit think Depor was one of them.
It's probable.
Yeah.
Maybe Las Palmas at some point.
speaking of Depor, they drew 1-1 with Eibar. 1 point is better than none, but Depor really need three at this point. And they're not capable of getting it, it seems. Eibar, that's not a great result for them. They should be pasting Depor, but no matter. Real Madrid, 3. 10-man Getafe, 1. Cristiano Ronaldo with his 300th and 301st goals for Real Madrid. On Sunday, Levante, 1. Espanyol, 1. This finally spelled the end for Muniz as Levante boss. He has been sacked, with Levante sitting just a point above the drop zone. And if Las Palmas win tonight, Levante will be in the drop zone.
Yeah, I mean, they can't buy a win for anything. They've only won the same amount of games as Malaga, so that is piss poor.
They have one win from their last 22 league games.
That's bad, I think.
Wow, yeah. And it may be too late to save their season with the change in manager, but we shall see.
It's going to be close.
Real Sociedad, 2-1 winners over Alaves. This was a pretty good game. Two first-half goals from La Real to nudge them a little bit closer toward mid-table. And finally, the Sunday night game, controversial one at Mestalla, as it has been more than once this season. Valencia 2, Real Betis 0. The exploits of Simone Zaza, he got his first goal in forever, it seems. But VAR, we need VAR, Rob.
Well, it's coming. It was announced that it's coming this week, so.
And not a moment too soon, as Betis really could have used it on Sunday night. Let's go through the top of the table before we launch into Barca and Atletico. Barca are top on 69 points, Atletico in second on 61, Real Madrid in third on 54, Valencia fourth on 53. And then Sevilla and Villarreal in fifth and sixth, respectively. Barca Atletico finished 1-0 to the hosts, and this kind of was a game of two halves, particularly for Atletico. I mean, although most football matches are two halves, I've been told. But for Atletico, this was a very poor first half, followed by a much better second half. But we'll start with this question. Did Atletico play better, as in take more initiative in the second half, or do you think Barca allowed them to play better?
I think it was a bit of both. I think it's important to know that watching that game in the second half, it was clear that Barcelona were sitting off, that they were pretty content with that, with 1-0. Which, you know, in past years wouldn't really have been a thing that Barcelona did, but this Valverde team is a lot more pragmatic than we're used to.
Yeah, precisely. That pragmatism. We saw it a bit the first time these two met up in October at a stadium called Wanda, and saw it again on Sunday. A game of very few clear chances. The very best chance, according to Understat, which is a site that tracks expected goals, shot quality, all that. The very best chance was a blocked Luis Suarez shot in the 31st minute, worth 0.12 expected goals.
Yeah, the shot map for this one is very interesting. I mean, to limit Barcelona to some pretty poor opportunities in the box, I mean, it's something to be somewhat proud of, given the strengths of players they have, but I think the lack of attacking output Atletico got is the real disappointment.
Yeah, especially considering Atletico's recent form. They'd won 6 in a row. They put up 9 goals in 3 days against Sevilla and Leganés heading into this game. And it seemed like, I talked about this with Robbie on Thursday, it seemed like all the ingredients were in place for Atletico to go to Camp Nou, get their first win there in 12 years, and really reopen the title race. But as so often happens, Lionel Messi put an end to that, Rob.
Yeah, he's pretty good at scoring goals, and in particular free kicks this season. He's been unbelievable. I mean, every time, if you even think about giving him a free kick, he might score it. So, yeah, he's very good. As it turns out,
they're like penalties for him.
They really are.
There is nothing really out of his range, and he's got like Steph Curry range with free kicks. Like, they're like penalties for him. He scored one in each of the last three games from generally the same area outside the box.
It's unbelievable. I mean, he probably has a better conversion rate from free kicks than Griezmann does from penalties.
But, right, most players
get no penalties, but
yeah. He has a better conversion ratio than most players do from penalties. I mean, it's incredible.
Yes, it is. His free kicks are excellent. But, you know, I really thought, you know, in the first half it was pretty standard Simeone stuff. You're going to try to strangle the game and hope to not concede. And once that goal went in inside 25 minutes, I mean, generally this team doesn't concede in the first half. So I think that really hurt the game plan.
Yeah, pretty sure that's just the fourth goal Atletico have conceded in the first half this season, which is remarkable.
It is. They rarely concede in the first half, and I think that was sort of the last thing they needed. And it wasn't a result. I mean, giving the free kick away in that position was silly, but I mean, it wasn't a horrific mistake that led to a goal. So, I mean, you got to kind of take that one on the chin, I guess, if you're going to give away a foul to Messi. But yeah, it was disappointing.
If you're going to give that foul away outside the box, you cannot be surprised when Messi puts it
in. Exactly.
Yeah, and Tomas was the one who made the foul. It was really a dumb foul, and Messi just did what he does. I think Oblak maybe could have done a little better on this. He did get a hand to it, but what are you going to do? Messi does this to everyone, not just Atletico.
Yeah, on the replay, it did look a little bit like Oblak could have done something a little bit more, but still, I think you just got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and these are the very fine margins that we talk about when Atletico play Barcelona. This was a bit of a debate after the game. Simeone had set up his team differently. It had come out to attack Barcelona right away, set up the way he did against Sevilla and Leganés. There was kind of this debate where, oh, Simeone should have done this and or that, and a lot of it is just, it's revisionist to me. Atletico got pasted in the first half, and they were outshot 9-1. I think 5 shots on target for Barcelona, 0 for Atletico, 67% possession for the hosts. Atletico got run over in the first half, no doubt. But the second half was much better.
It was better. I can see the problems with the lineup, but I think when you look at the track record of Diego Simeone in big games, he's not going to go for it. From the start, at least. And in the match against Sevilla, you can understand going for it because their defense is terrible, as we saw firsthand. But,
yes,
you know, when you have Piqué and Umtiti as the two center backs you're going against and not Langley and whatever clowns Sevilla have, then it's a bit of a different kind of game.
Yeah, Barcelona have a little bit more defensive talent than Sevilla and Leganés do. I'm pretty confident in that assertion.
Just slightly.
Yeah, just
a
little bit.
You know, players that have actual international caps and such.
Right. I mean, Piqué and Umtiti are two of the best center backs in Europe, you know. And
hands down,
The way Valverde set them up, it was to match Simeone in the 4-4-2. Very compact, very pragmatic. Even when Atletico had more of the ball, pressed higher, and really got into more advanced positions in the second half, there weren't really any clear-cut chances. Atletico didn't offer much. They weren't very dangerous, and a lot of that is give credit to Barcelona's defense. But it's tough, I think, for a lot of people to negotiate. You know, Atletico scored 9 goals in 2 games, and then they go to Camp Nou, and they have 1 shot on target in 90 minutes. Like, it's tough to negotiate that, but you don't set up to play Barcelona like you do Leganés or Levante or any of the other lower-rung teams. You beat Barcelona by pressing high, counterattacking with speed and directness and intelligent running. That's what Atletico did in the second half. Just, they lacked that precision, and Barcelona stayed very compact. Valverde is a very good manager for them to have in this kind of game.
Yeah, I thought Atletico's counterattacks, they had the opportunities, but they were kind of sloppy at times, whether it was the pass or losing possession or just whatever. It just didn't seem to work out to create the chances. But the opportunity was there, and you could see that it was working. It's just the players couldn't execute.
Yeah, and I agree with your point earlier. I do think that Barca were a little bit more content to have Atletico try to break them down, but I also think Atletico did take a lot of initiative, especially with the very positive changes Simeone made.
Yes, the changes were rather unexpected.
They were interesting.
Especially Correa, yeah.
Yeah, Correa for Versalico and then Gamero for Gabby, the two very attacking changes. I mean, didn't change a whole lot in terms of how Atletico played, but the intent was there. And it showed that Simeone wasn't just going to settle and try to battle with you know, his initial game plan, because it didn't work. So he tried something different. He tried something bolder.
He did, and, I mean, it makes sense given the players he had out there. I mean, he had 4 central midfielders, and he moved Tomas to right back, and shove Correa on the wing and move Koke and Saul inside. And, yeah, I mean, everyone played everywhere, I think, against Barcelona.
Yeah, the heat maps for this game were pretty wild.
Yeah, especially for those 4 central midfielders. Yeah, they were all over the place.
Atletico did look more functional, but they just didn't have the precision, and they just couldn't get that one dangerous chance they needed. When you reduce a game to 1 or 2 chances, it's not always going to work out for you, and that is what Atletico tend to do in these very big games against the very best teams. We've seen it in La Liga, we've seen it in the Champions League. This is how Atletico set up in these big games, and if you're thinking that Simeone is going to change, then you just haven't been paying attention. This is how he has always done it.
And I actually think that strategy for this iteration of Atletico actually makes more sense than it has in previous years, because this iteration of the defense is a lot worse than it's been in previous years, because Godin and Felipe and Juan Fran are all old, and then you have some younger guys that don't really have the experience yet. So as compared to some of the early Diego Simeone Atletico defenses, this one is a bit weaker.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that in a minute because of Jose Jimenez and how awesome he was on Sunday.
Yes,
but
certainly the only standout player.
He probably, yeah, come to think of it, he was. Simeone did try something a little different, though. In some of these bigger games, we've seen Atletico come out just flying from the very beginning, get an early goal, then sag off and let Barcelona or Real Madrid or whoever it was just let them probe and eventually find the equalizer and then go on to win the game. Instead of going all out from the beginning, he saved that approach for the second half. And I it was interesting to me because I go back to the two league games Atletico played against Barcelona 2 years ago in 2015-16, when Atletico came out flying in both games, scored first, and then lost 2-1 both times.
Yes, those games in particular were both painful. And I think that Simeone learned that if you say to Barcelona, all right, score two goals against us, they can do that.
They will, yeah.
Yes, they're pretty good at doing that.
Like, there aren't many teams that Simeone can issue that challenge to, and the opposing team will meet that challenge. Barca is one of them.
Exactly.
Oh, but,
and,
yeah.
So it was disappointing, and I think really it's disappointing because on another day this strategy could have worked. I don't really have too many complaints about what he did, but... You know, even still, I mean, it's not going to be not disappointing for us, but...
Yeah, I don't think you start Gabby and Tomas together. I do think if you have Correa starting from the beginning, it does make a bit of a difference, but there's no answer for Messi's genius. There just never is. You give him one chance, and then that was all he needed. It only finished 1-0. This fixture used to be 5-0. 4-1.
Right.
Now it's 1-0. The margins are very fine. The margins are very tight. Barcelona just, they have that extra quality. They have Messi. No one else does.
Yeah, exactly. And Valverde this whole year has been constantly saying that Atletico are their biggest threat, and he's right. Well, up until this point, whatever you think about the title race, but he knew in that second half that that Atletico were going to come back into the game, so I think... Really, his approach has to be respected. I think he did the right thing as well. I think in the second half, both managers did the right thing, but Barcelona came out on top.
Yeah, I kind of thought it took Valverde a little too long to make changes because Atletico were getting closer, but they weren't exactly, you know, peppering Ter Stegen's goal. Yeah, I do think it took him a little too long to make changes. Like Coutinho only came off on 83 minutes. Coutinho was very good, but it did take Valverde a little too long to answer Simeone's substitutions. At least I thought.
Well, they only made two.
Yeah.
So.
If Atletico were going to lose this game, it was going to be on their terms, right? Robbie and I talked about this last week. Like, Simeone wasn't going to go there and get crazy notions about attacking Barcelona right from the off, because Barcelona would have played them off the pitch. It just took them too long to get going. The first half was dreadful, although a lot of their first halves this season have been dreadful. This one was really bad. It looked a lot like, you know, a Champions League semifinal first leg where you're just trying to hang on, maybe grab an away goal. But there are no second legs here. This is a league game. And what Atletico found in the second half was just not enough. I mean, coming into this game, Atletico were in just great attacking form, and they ended with one shot on target. Diego Costa went offside more than he went for a goal.
Yeah, that was a problem, I think.
Griezmann had one shot.
The strike force didn't do it, which is worrying. I was sort of expecting more from Diego Costa, given he was frustrated at the end that he didn't get any goals against in the last match against Leganés. But I don't know. He was offside too much, and that sort of slowed down the momentum of any kind of counterattack that Atletico got going.
Yeah, especially. His worst offside was about 5 minutes to go when he nodded down for Gamero, and Gamero scored the equalizer, but Costa was a foot offside. It was a really good call.
I still don't buy that the ref saw it. Ain't no way he saw it from that far away.
You don't think so?
No, I think it was a guess.
You think he got lucky?
It was a guess.
It was a blind guess.
Well, I don't think it was a blind. I think it was a educated guess. Yeah. But given how many times Costa had been offside, it was a good gamble to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was offside. But don't get me wrong, I did jump at that moment. But
oh, I did too.
It was a marginal decision. Yeah.
But yeah, Griezmann and Costa were just way too isolated. Particularly in that first half, and in the second half too, when Griezmann was able to drop a little bit deeper, when Correa and Gamero came on, he just wasn't able to. Again, just lacking the precision, just lacking that final ball. I also think some of this was Atletico's third game this week, and there's a bit of an attitude shift when you go from playing Leganés, when you go from pounding Leganés to going to Barcelona. Like there's a bit of, you have to raise your game. And three games in a week, that's really tough. Atletico are in the midst of a busy run here between La Liga and the Europa League. Not that that's an excuse, but it's worth noting that this was the third game in a week.
Well, and also Barcelona's mentality after drawing to a team in the relegation zone away from home, you knew they were going to be pissed off coming into this one. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not a good combination.
Yeah,
there.
Which is also why you don't go for it right from the off, because you don't want to run the risk of Barca just hammering you, and even worse in the first half. Going into halftime 1-0, I think was very good for Atletico, and in the second half they were better, just not better enough. Should Vitolo have played?
I think either Vitolo or Correa should have started. Clearly, as we have known for a while, the Koke and Saul thing on the wings, it don't work. So I think you needed a traditional winger. Whether you needed two, you could debate it, but I think they needed someone that was not a central midfielder.
Yeah, and I think Simeone had the chance to put him on when he made his third substitute, but he went with Lucas for Felipe in a like-for-like change, which that change didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean,
yeah,
I guess how you could frame it is that Simeone was thinking about Thursday in the Europa League. But, I mean, Lucas doesn't offer the playmaking Felipe does. If you're going to make that change, you throw Vitolo on.
Yeah, my initial thought was that Felipe was injured or he was gassed, but it didn't seem like that was the case. But, yeah, that one was a bit strange. The other two subs, I thought, were extremely effective. But, yeah, I don't know. In the last few minutes, it was somewhat disappointing how little they got going after that offside goal. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You kind of had the feeling there was another goal in this game, but well, obviously there wasn't. But credit to Barcelona's defending and really shutting down Atletico when they got anywhere close to Ter Stegen, and Atletico just could not replicate that bite that they've had of late. And now 12 years without a win at Camp Nou. It's a long time.
Yeah. Yep. Diego Simeone's never beaten them at Camp Nou, certainly, and. Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, granted, we've had a tremendous result there that still was not a win.
It felt like one.
It certainly was a win. I think most of those Barcelona players would say that was a loss.
Yeah, sure was.
Even though they did score a pretty good goal. Yeah, it let the air out of our challenge here. You know, we were going after two games where we scored a ton of goals and going to play Barcelona. I was sort of expecting a draw, really. And I think, really, a draw wouldn't have been that bad for the title race.
No, yeah.
Given that Barcelona had drawn midweek.
Yeah, a draw would have been fine. It would have kept things ticking for the final 10 weeks or so. But, yeah, a loss would have been the most damaging, so, of course, that's what happened. Now 8 points back, they don't have the head-to-head advantage over Barca anymore. Well, they never did, but now they don't. They won't have a goal difference either. So Atletico need Barcelona to lose three times or draw a couple times and lose a couple times, and Atletico pretty much have to win the rest of the way. So
given they haven't lost yet, I'm not super confident about that.
Yeah, I am starting to think Barcelona are going to go unbeaten.
They'll go unbeaten, but it might be close. might be about one.
I mean, we're at this stage in the season, they haven't lost yet. Only loss was in the Copa del Rey, and they ended up winning that tie. I mean, you look at their next few league games, they have Malaga away, that's a win. They don't have to have to show up for that. They'll host Athletic, that's a win. They go to Sevilla, that's a win. They host Leganes, that's a win. That takes us into April.
Their
most difficult away trip at this point is away to Celta on April 18th.
That's my birthday. What a great present that will be. I'm going to be 8-0 to Barcelona.
So. I'm really thinking that this Barcelona team is going to go unbeaten, and they're going to make history in that way, which will make this a little easier to stomach, that Atletico came very close to beating them twice this season.
Yeah, true.
But it's a small consolation.
It makes it a little better, but not a lot better.
So we don't really have league anymore. There is very, very little league. Atletico still have a 7-point advantage over Real Madrid. 8 points over Valencia. They have the head-to-head over Valencia. They play at the Bernabeu in a few weeks after the international break. So, I think we'll see what happens. I mean, we've said before that Atletico were out of the race, and then they cut it back to 5 points entering Sunday. So we'll see how much more fight there is left here. But you got to think it's extraordinarily difficult from here on out.
Yeah, I don't think there is no league. I just think there is very little league. Very, very little. I don't think there's really any. It's a very small chance. It's possible, of course. Because, I mean, really, they're 8 points off. They were 7 points off prior to the midweek games. So it's not that big of a difference, but you just can't see this Barcelona team losing than once.
I can't. I'm not even sure I see them losing once.
Yeah. So. I think if they're going to lose, it might only be one. So that's tough.
Would you still have Atletico as the favorites for second, though?
Yeah, I would. I don't think there's really much chance Real Madrid could catch up, even though they have been on a bit of an uptick. They've never really convinced me. They didn't convince me last year either, and they won the league and the Champions League. But I think this year they're kind of getting a little bit less of the rub of the green than they did last year.
Yeah, they definitely are. But that's obviously the next big game is at the Bernabeu at the end of the month. Atletico do have Celta this weekend. They have both legs of... Yeah, this is going to be fun. Going to Russia next week and then going to Villarreal at the weekend. That'll be fun.
Fun times in Russia.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, making the trip east and coming back to play Villarreal. That'll be great. But we will cross that bridge when we get to it. I do want to talk about one more thing from this game, and the performance of Jose Jimenez. We've talked before about how Diego Costa has, for the most part, rejuvenated Atletico's attack. I think we can kind of say the same for Jose Jimenez and the Atletico defense, because this defense, for most of the season, has been a bit wobbly, despite the 12 goals conceded through 27 weeks. It's been a bit wobbly. Oblak has had to bail them out more than once. But Atletico, over the past few weeks or so, have looked a lot steadier at the back, and I'm going to give Jose Jimenez a lot of credit for that. He was a beast on Sunday, in particular.
He was. He was tremendous, and he has been for the last couple weeks, and I think that is hugely encouraging. And I think that was one of the things you and I talked about to start the season that we wanted to see was a step forward from one or both of the center backs. Being Lucas and Jose Simon, I think both have taken a step forward this season, which is excellent because both of them are tremendous prospects.
Yeah, Jimenez in this game, 6 tackles, 5 clearances, 5 blocks, and just 1 foul.
Yeah, he was excellent. And it's kind of interesting seeing Diego Godin being the less dominant of a center back pairing. That's not something we've seen often or at all.
It's a nice change, though.
It is. And it's one that needed to happen because he is getting older and he's still an excellent center back, but he shouldn't maybe be the dominant partner now. I think a younger guy alongside him would really benefit him as well as the defense as a whole.
Yeah, if Jimenez is dropped from this team again this season, like, we riot.
Yeah,
I think unless Jimenez gets hurt, he needs to start every game. Like, no disrespect at all to Lucas, But Jimenez has just been excellent. This is probably the longest run on the team he's had, perhaps his entire Atletico career. I mean, he started most of the games in 2015-16, but he was pretty uneven that season. This has got to be not only the longest run, but probably his most dominant run. No doubt his most dominant run.
Yeah, this is by far his best spell for being in the team and performing. Last season, he was so unfortunate with just niggling injuries that kept hitting him throughout the year. But this year, he's managed to stay somewhat healthy. So, and he's been great. And I think if you're going to drop anyone from this defensive pairing, it'd probably be Diego Godin. And that's just if you want to give him a rest. So, yeah, don't drop Hosema. Don't do it. We want him.
Yeah, we haven't heard
much. Europa League.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything about Savage's return to fitness. He's been out about a month now, hasn't he? 3 weeks?
Yeah, it feels like he's been out for a long time.
It does. Yeah, and Lucas came back from a very similar injury within a couple weeks. So Savage is still on the mend, it appears. I don't think Atleti should be rushing him back, considering Hosema's excellent form.
No, there's no need to.
No, he's
and been... even when he does come back, I think it's a steep hill for him to climb to get back in the team.
Yeah, he's been really great. All right, Europa League Thursday. Atleti hosting Lokomotiv Moscow, who are on top of the Russian League, should be a stiffer challenge. Got my comparatives wrong. Should be a stiffer challenge than Copenhagen in the last 32. Thinking a similar lineup on Thursday to the one we saw Sunday, or will Simeone change it up at home?
I would hope that he would change it up, at least to a certain extent in the midfield. I think, obviously, we don't have that many players at this point. We do only have 17. We don't have that many options, but I would like to see Vitolo. I think Gamero was so good off the bench, I think he should maybe get a start, and he's been awesome in the Europa League.
That's his competition, man. Gamero owns that competition. Vitolo does, too.
He's got to start.
They should both start, Gamero and Vitolo.
Yeah, the Europa League geniuses, yeah. So, yeah, and it's not a game that Atletico can take lightly, because Lokomotiv got past Nice in the last round, who aren't as good as they were last year, but they're no slouches, so... It'll be a tough game, I reckon. But at home, obviously, you're going to expect to get the result.
At home, you make... I would make Atletico the favorites. Is the Wanda Metropolitano really home yet? Atletico are unbeaten in the league there, 9 wins and 4 draws. In Europe, they have... Let's see, they beat Roma there, lost to Chelsea, although that should have been a draw, drew with Karabaj, and beat Copenhagen. Is a stadium called Wanda rapidly becoming, is it home, basically?
It's a weird one, and I'd like to know what you think about this, because for me, we've had great success there this season, but it still doesn't feel right. And that's, I realize, totally subjective and not something that you could prove in any way,
right?
Because our form has been great, but... You know, the crowd's not always there. I mean, we knew it was never going to be the Calderon, but even still, I think there's been a bit of a disappointment with the attendances, which we knew was going to be a problem, but now it's a real thing. So yeah, it's strange. It's strange we have such good form, and yet it doesn't feel like home, to me,
yeah,
at least.
It is very subjective, as you said. Atletico do look a bit more comfortable there. I mean, they... Griezmann put up 4 on Leganés with, you know, less than half capacity there. So that's a very good sign.
Yeah.
Atletico had the 3rd highest attendance in La Liga, although they also have the 3rd largest stadium, so it makes sense that they would have those attendance figures. I don't know. I think it is becoming... It's starting to feel more comfortable. Obviously, it's such an adjustment to go from the Calderon and everything it represented about the club ethos, the club philosophy... to this sparkling stadium, you know, in Los Blancos territory. It's a really tough adjustment to make, but again, unbeaten through 13 weeks in La Liga. Celta Vigo are the next team to make a trip there next Sunday. How many wins they have in Europe? That's 2 home wins in Europe as well? Yeah, and just 1 loss there. And they have 2 Copa del Rey wins. Just two losses there this season to Chelsea and Sevilla. Both games decided very late on.
Yep, and, you know, both games you could say Atletico probably didn't deserve to lose. And it's I have to say, personally, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than this. I didn't think this move was going to be nearly as smooth as it's been. I mean, it hasn't been without faults, but it could have been a lot worse.
I believe you are on the record as saying, I hope this isn't like West Ham.
It's not! Hallelujah! Because not only did it not feel like home to them, they also played like shit there. So, at least we're playing well.
At least there's that, yes.
I'll take it.
So, yeah, it should be an interesting one Thursday. You got a scoreline prediction?
Oh, man. 2-1. Jefferson Farfan to score for Lokomotiv.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, that's what I'll go for.
That's your dude. That's your dude, though.
Yeah, I like him. I realize he's old, but...
I do think Atletico are going to bounce back. I do think both Gamero and Vitolo will start, and I will go with a 2-0 win.
All right. Well, there we go. Well, either way, according to our predictions, they'll score 2 goals, so I'll take it.
Yeah, 2-0 would be nice heading into the weekend, heading into the second leg, especially. You don't want to give Lokomotiv any life whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. We'd preferably want to kill it off in the first leg.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there for the regular pod. We'll do our bonus pod next for our amigos at patreon.com/colchonerochat. I want to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
A pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter, your host, Jeremy Barron, at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon as well, at Into the Calderon, and like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. As mentioned earlier, you can head over to patreon.com/colchonerochat to become a colchonerochat amigo, get access to our bonus pods, and a whole lot more. Lots of cool stuff to be found there. Also, make sure to subscribe and listen to colchonerochat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. Yeah. We'll be back later on this week. Until then, adios.